Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo!
End of the third quarter, we are all even. 77 apiece, Milwaukee and Phoenix. It has been Giannis doing everything for the Bucks. He's got 37 and 10 rebounds. So he's got 37, the rest of the Bucks have 40. All right, so just so we're keeping track at home. Meanwhile, for the Suns, Chris Paul leading the way with 17, Devin Booker 15. This has not been a good game for the Suns, and they're still tied going to the fourth quarter. I mean, really, at some point, you have to think the Suns are going to start playing at least a little bit better, and if they play a little bit better, they'll wind up winning this game. Not a lot, but it's not suddenly, okay, they got to really just put them. No, just a little bit because they're playing terribly, and still, it's 77 apiece. And the reason it's 77 apiece is because of the craptastic games that Middleton and Drew Holiday are giving you right now. All right, Middleton only has 9 shots. All right, now he's not shooting horribly, but he's got 11 points. Drew Holiday is 3-for-16 from the floor with 9 points. He is having a horrendous game. So now for all of the plaudits that Middleton and Drew Holiday have gotten over the course of the past few games, and deservedly so, because they've made plays and they've made big shots where the Bucks wouldn't be where they are without them. Middleton taking over the end of a game, Holiday with his defensive prowess against Chris Paul, the big steal, the alley-oop. As good as Middleton and Holiday can be, they can also give you horrendous games like this way too often. Like, you look at their series so far, and you can say Middleton and Holiday have played like two and a half-ish good games, and 2.5-ish games, you go, boy, that really doesn't get it done. That really, I mean, they're just as liable to give you a good game as they are to give you something where, hey, if you're really a star player, you got to be more consistent than this. And this is why the Bucks are where they are, because they're second and third best players. While they can be very good, they give you too many craptastic games like this, because this should be a game where the Bucks are up by 15 in the fourth quarter. Even if Holiday and Middleton are having average nights, it should be a 15-point lead for Milwaukee. But because Middleton and Holiday aren't as consistent, this is why we are where we are.
Getting your efforts from Portis off the bench. He's the only guy to score. Connaughton played 18 minutes, 6 boards, but minus 20. Minus 20. And a big fat zero in the scoring column, as you referenced. Coming into the fourth, the non-Giannis contingent, only with 3 more points than he had. And Frank Kaminsky put in big minutes for the Suns. So take that, all you naysayers and people going, who the hell is that guy running around? as you look at it, the Suns getting good balance, right? You got 5 guys in double figures as it is right now, shooting just 6-of-17 from 3-point range, not really living at the foul line as you'd come to expect. A couple of phantom calls and superstar calls going Devin Booker's way. We'll see what happens with Chris Paul and Scott Foster here in the fourth. So great drama set up down the stretch. But yeah, someone just got to tell Holiday you can't shoot anymore. You just can't. I know
the old mantra
is shooters shoot, but
no. Dude, you're not a shooter. You're not. But shooters shoot. Yeah, but you're not a shooter. No, but I am. No, but you're really not. You're really not that guy. Like certain guys, yes, I get it. We have to just keep shooting. Yeah, Drew Holiday's, dude, how about you look to dish a little bit more? To who? Anybody. Even Connaughton? Yes. He's minus 20. Even Connaughton. Give the ball to him. I mean, look, he has absolutely crushed them in some games because this is what Holiday does. He starts the beginning of a game. He decides, I'm just going to shoot. And 6 minutes in, he's 1-for-9. It's like, why does he have 9 shots in the first 6 minutes? Why is this happening? And the Bucks wind up having to play from behind on this because it's what he likes to do. It's like, I got to go out. I got to go get mine. It's like his one before the game. Dude, man, you can't let Giannis and Middleton get all this glory. You got to get out there and take shots yourself. You know, you're right. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to shoot the ball like 12 times in the first 10 minutes. Yeah, do it, man. That'll be cool. And then he's 1-for-12, and you go, why is this happening?
Why is it going? Like, Budenholzer's got to go. I tell him all the time. Dude, if you're not making it, don't take it, man. If you're not making it, don't take it. He does it all the time. I can't do anything.
Well, you want him to stay aggressive, but there's a point where you're looking at Giannis, and Bully Ball has been effective. And he's 12 of 13 from the foul line. The stars are the line for you, man. He's 12 of 13 from the foul line.
Yeah. But speaking of the foul line, so that's why we are where we are, because of how poorly Middleton and Holiday are playing offensively. The Scott Foster specter hanging over this game, at some point, I mean, and I'm completely honest here. Look, the NBA assigned Scott Foster to officiate this game. Chris Paul is 1-12 in games that Scott Foster's officiated of. It's like a 12-game losing streak for Chris Paul and the Suns. They just can't win. He's had a back and forth in a history with Scott Foster, and somehow the NBA continues to assign him to NBA Finals games. He is a very highly rated referee, and that's the thing, is all the highly rated referees and officials get the assignments. But at some point, don't the Suns have a case to say, hey, Let's just stop for a second. It's obvious this referee and our star player don't get along, right? And I don't want to tell you who to send, but just don't send this guy. All right, because don't make it look like you're sending somebody, and now we have to fight the referee and we have to fight the other team. Right? Why are we doing this? Why are you doing this? You can send anybody you want to. And again, they can say, we're not going to tell you who to send. You know, we're not going to say, okay, Tony Brothers, great, you can send him. All right, awesome. No, we're not. But just don't send a guy that clearly has history and has something with our star player. That's something that we can't get by. And you can see that there's something going on for a guy that's won the amount of times that Chris Paul has won. Just look at the math of it. Just look at the math where, hey, Chris Paul wins X amount of games, but when this guy referees, he does it. Why is that? I mean, really, why is that? And at some point, the Suns have to have a case for this where it's, okay, he doesn't need to referee. We can have somebody else come and do it.
Yeah, I think there's got to be some concerted effort, and you got to get some corroboration from other teams. Obviously, when you look at opponents where Chris Paul has been vanquished in playoff and big-time situations, well, they're not going to help because they were on the better end of things. But there's got to be something more, because here's why he keeps getting assigned, Jason, is if he isn't, the NBA is admitting there's something untoward. Right,
as opposed to, we're just not going to assign you. We're just not going to assign you. But at some point, the Suns have to say something, because clearly they're still assigning Scott Foster to these games.
And that's where Monty Williams
had, he officiated them this offseason. And
I would agree with you. I think this is where Monty Williams has to step in and just say, you know what, I'm a mild-mannered guy, well-respected. You guys know I don't, you know, blow smoke just to blow smoke. I mean, we've gotten so many look-ins on huddles and everything else that it's a, all right, if I'm going to say something, that, you know, it's the, you scream at your kids all the time. What do they just do? They ignore you because you're screaming all the time, or you're cursing all the time. Let's take it to the extreme.
Well, do I have to ask you why are you cursing and screaming? I mean, not at a soccer game.
I don't curse, although I was accused by one of my daughter's teammates of flipping off a referee last week. Which is still, I mean, now you're just making stuff up. No.
Wait. Just tell me. Listen, no one else is listening. Just tell me. No, we're not on
to the millions and millions of the Harman fans global.
No, did you really do that to a referee? Yeah. Did you really?
No. Occasionally.
Why does one of her friends think you were?
Because she wanted to agitate her. That's why. She wanted to see how Maddie would react. But occasionally you may just get me with the arms outstretched, like, really? And then we'll see what the referee's going to respond to with that. Occasionally. Yeah, I'll cop to that. I don't scream a lot. You might get a, every now and again, but otherwise I stand there silently, and then all of a sudden the referee's walking over. It's like, I didn't say anything to you. It's like, if you want to come in.
Here's the thing. You're not supposed to say anything. You're not a coach. You are not supposed to say
anything.
That's
the point, is I don't. Yet the guy will stop the play.
Either. You can't play charades with him. Okay, two words. First word,
if he's paying attention to me,
suck.
Look, he shouldn't be paying attention to me. He's got a problem. That's showing he's not capable of officiating the game. But that's a whole other thing. My point was, is
wait, are you grading the referees? Are you doing that? Are you grading the referees and then
sending
them the grades?
And look, the last guy graded well enough, and the girls won. So, I mean, I don't have the Chris Paul thing one for one. But the idea being that if you're screaming at your kids all the time, they're going to stop reacting to when you scream at them. Because other than to get you to shut up, I guess, occasionally, maybe you'll get the reaction you sought. Otherwise, it's just part of discourse in your home. Whereas you're normally calm, when you do yell, it's jarring because it's out of the ordinary. Or maybe you let a four-letter slip. And no, I'm not talking about ESPN like everybody else.
Okay, no, I get what you're saying.
Like all of a sudden you let something slip. It's like, wow, Dad got mad. Mm. What did we do?
Right?
and so I think that's where Monty Williams is right now, is he's never really gone after any part of the machine as it stands. It's normally a motivational speech. So for him to step out and go, I have no idea why this guy's been assigned and why he's on the court. Or for Chris Paul at some point, right? If he's the leader, just acknowledge the elephant in the room.
Yeah, well, look, and there was just a play in the game, and it's a two-point lead for the Bucks right now with 8.5 to go in the fourth quarter, where Chris Paul got very upset with Scott Foster, and Bobby Portis stepped in between the two of them. I mean, I don't. Why is Bobby Portis? Let Chris Paul go and get a technical. What are you doing? Why is Bobby Portis getting between Chris Paul and Scott Foster? Don't you want him to get it? Don't you think
who ordered
tee
the
him
code
up?
Red, Smith?
Don't you think he's going to tee him up? No, but Bobby Portis for some reason. Hey, listen, even I feel bad for you, man, because we're going to win this game because you know you're 1-12. So I'll help you out. I'll get in the way right here so you don't get thrown out of the game or get a big tee, and we wind up getting more free throws because we're going to win anyway. I don't want you to feel worse than you do. Okay, thanks, buddy. All right, I'll see you later on.
He's still had an offer, right?
I think
Paul,
so, yeah.
With Foster. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, it's one of those. The NBA is going to keep force-feeding it because they don't want to admit there's a problem or give you anything further to say there's a problem. But someone's got to raise the hand. I'm calling on you, Monty Williams, especially if you get sent home tonight.
Again, 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and yes, the Scott Foster thing should have been bigger, and the Suns should have made a bigger deal out of it. They trail right now by two, but again, 8 minutes to go still is anybody's game. Now, something you talked about a few minutes ago, now when we mentioned the fact that the Olympics right now are getting set to get underway. We're getting some women's soccer coming up in a couple of hours before the official opening ceremonies. We're getting some of the pre-Olympic events that are starting because, you know, you got to have soccer's got to, you know, people have to have time off. So certain things like soccer and hockey always begin a day or two before the opening ceremonies. So we're starting to get them. And look, there's some concern that maybe the Olympics don't come off because of the what's going on with COVID in Tokyo right now. But this is, you know, we talked about the potential that it could be canceled a few minutes ago. This is what I take away and I shake my head. And this is why I say not every country should get the Olympics. Okay, this is the quote I mentioned, IOC President Thomas Bach, who was talking about the organizers in Tokyo about what they had to say about the Olympics and trying to put these games on, is he said the organizers could not have imagined these unprecedented challenges that have faced them for the Olympics. And I said, wait, seriously? You had a year. You had a year to figure out how to pull this off. All the other sports found a way to play. All the other sports found a way. Everybody else, nothing got canceled. After the first month, we didn't have a college basketball tournament. Okay, but every other sport figured it out. Every other sport figured it out to play a season and have a championship. And now we're a year later, and what do you mean these unprecedented challenges? You knew what was happening. You had a year to try to figure this out, and now it's, oh, we don't. No, I'm sorry. This is on you, all right? Not that you have to have all the answers, but it's got to be better than this at this point. We still have people getting caught. Okay, so whose fault is that? That this is still going on and you don't have a handle on this in the Olympics. You have to be much more on top of, because you're putting on a big event. The NBA was on top of the players and on top of the finals so much. We had a great finals and we didn't have COVID affected at all. We had a baseball playoffs because baseball was on top of it. The NFL was on top of it. But it's like the Olympics. What do you want us to do? No, this is where you need to be in charge of things. Whether you're the organizer or the IOC, don't tell me unprecedented challenges. You just watch in every corner of the globe. You've had people put on championships. You've had soccer championships in Europe, in South America, and they all went on. But now the Olympics, we don't know what to do. What do you mean you don't know what to do? What, you just watched it. Now you can't do it? So this is on you. okay? If this doesn't happen, this is on you. Don't tell me, oh, there's so many unprecedented challenges. No, it's an epic fail if you can't put on the Olympics, because you had a year to figure this out. You had a year to make it work. You had a year to figure out how to keep everybody safe. You decided, we're not going to have fans. Okay, great. You'll be able to get the athletes over. Now, athletes are testing positive. Why? Are you on top of the athletes enough? Obviously not, because you shouldn't be having positive COVID tests, getting ready to go to the Olympics. Every other sport was on top of it, and now the Olympics are in this situation? No, that's on you.
Yeah, I don't understand where – I mean, I guess the public, it's just the same thing of, hey, we can't – you know, court the controversy. We've got to soft shoe it and say, hey, and soft sell it, going, oh, you know what? We're it's really difficult to try to pull this together. And yeah, there's a lot of things to have happen to have all these nations show up and to coordinate it all. But you know what? You were supposed to have all the logistics a year ago. Right? The games were supposed to be a year ago. So all of that should have been set in stone with a year to work out the caveats for testing procedures and how you brought people into the country and got them safely to the hotels and everything else. You had a full year plus of dealing with this. And so I don't understand, you know, trying to couch it. You know, you're going to do your best. It's politicking at its finest, but it's disingenuous. Nobody buys it. I mean, you can almost see, you know, as you hear the statements and when you read the statements, it's almost like looking around for a reaction going, they buy this, right? they buy what I'm trying to sell here. And nobody wants to come out either on the eve of the games and say, you know what, they really failed. This is really potential, has the potential of being a $20 billion disaster because they couldn't get it. No, they're not going to say that. They could. They probably should, but they could.
They could have figured this out. They could have figured this out, and they didn't. And that's all we didn't know. No, no, no. That's a load of crap.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, and this is just a rock fight at this point. Under 5 minutes left to go, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Thousands of fans outside the arena in Milwaukee going, oh my God, the Bucks are going to win before the Green Bay Packers are going to win again. It is a 6-point Bucks lead, and it's not getting late for the Suns, but the Bucks lead, it was a tie game for a while. Now they've pushed it out to 6. The Suns don't have that hot player right now that they can default to for hoops, whereas the Bucks are able to say, Giannis, go win it for us, as he has 45 points on the night, nearly half of the Bucks' points. He is doing everything, and if the Bucks can't win a game where Giannis is 16 out of 17 from the free throw line,
yeah,
I don't know what kind of game they're going to win. I don't know. If he's 16 out of 17, he misses one free throw, he scores 50 points, and they lose, can they really win Game 7? I mean, can they really do it?
In a game where Booker is 7 of 18, 0 for beyond the arc once again. We've seen that a couple of times. We've seen a couple of careless turnovers, one from Chris Paul, one from Devin Booker. The saltiness, the desperation starting to sink in here as we get down the stretch. Also, some ticky-tack foul calls. Booker got called for an offensive foul that was, to me, a flop and a half from Connaughton before they went to the last timeout. And then he just had his lunch stolen and was calling for a reach-in, so he's lobbying hard with the referees. Like, all right, there's 4 minutes left. That lobbying should have been done a long time ago.
The lobbying should have done when they assigned Scott Foster to the game. That's where the lobbying should have happened.
Yes. As a unit, everybody. There should have been like the old chain call. You might have those for your soccer team now. Although I think you're the type of guy that would want to make all the calls himself instead of trusting that the word got down the line. You know, we used to have it all right, they call Harmon, and then Harmon's got to call Ricky or whoever the next one is, and then down the line, right? And the coach got out of the way. That's what the Sun should have been doing across social media this morning as soon as Foster was assigned.
Yeah, yeah. No, and you're right. I am a bit of a control freak. Coaching, whether it's softball or soccer.
That's why you won't let it go, coach.
Yeah, no. But there's like I can like when I coach with my assistant coaches, we always we put the game plans together, ourselves, everything else. But certain things, I'm like, no, I have to do this. And my wife says, why? I said, because I have to do it because I don't feel right if I don't do it, and it just makes me feel better. And I'm like, okay, if I'm doing it, I feel like we've taken care of this now. And it doesn't always need to be something that is game oriented. This could just be, hey, who's getting who to the field, making sure that someone needs a ride and because their parents are out of town. So I'll figure that out. Why do you have to figure it out? Because I got to make sure she gets to the game. So I'm the coach. So I got to do it. I don't want to, trust that to somebody else. And I get to the game going, where's our pitcher? Oh, no one came to pick her up. No one went to pick her up. So, that's why I kind of feel like I got to be in control for that. That's
personal responsibility. They're approaching being teenagers. They need to be able to explore the world for themselves.
Yeah.
The helicopter's got to go fly off and check out something else at some point. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not going to be that guy saying, get off your phone, you'll learn something. No. It's like I'm just not the coach. I am bringing you along as a young adult.
No, you're not. You're coddling and babying them all.
No, I'm not. I treated you like a pitcher who lost her stuff. No, I treat them how I good rule of thumb, treat every one of these. Okay, I'm done with the League of Their Own Lines. Right now, 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Milwaukee leading Phoenix 98-92. Giannis now with 47, 15 out of 24 from the floor. Starting to get a little interesting for Phoenix, who's going to start to have to hit a couple of threes here and there because I don't think you're going to two-point your way back into this. And as you mentioned, Devin Booker doesn't have a three, and they are 6 out of 21 from behind the arc. It is a really big deal that Phoenix starts hitting a couple from long distance and doing it very, very soon. Now, we'll have more on this game coming up in a bit, but obviously, look, if the Milwaukee Bucks win tonight, everybody can in the state of Wisconsin can go, all right, we're going to celebrate this, and we'll worry about Aaron Rodgers the next day. Meanwhile, the rest of the country is going, hey, are we going to get Aaron Rodgers? The breaking news earlier today, Adam Schefter reporting that Aaron Rodgers turned down a contract extension from the Green Bay Packers this offseason that would have made him the highest paid player in the NFL. So you know it's not about the money, and you know he doesn't want to stay, right? Those are things we absolutely know about Aaron Rodgers. If I'm Green Bay, I go on the offensive now, okay? Because at some point, you got to stand up and go, all right, he's not going to be a part of our future. Are we really going to go through this horrible one more year by refusing to trade him or making him sit out until we figure out a solution? Are we really going to go through this crappy year where we know a divorce is coming and he hates us and we hate him? No, let's go on the offensive and say, you don't want to be here. We don't want you. We're going to push the storyline. Hey, you want to trade for Aaron Rodgers? Call us right now, right? It's obvious this is how it's going to end. It's going to end in heartache and divorce. At least control that part of it, because right now Aaron Rodgers is controlling the entire narrative of it. You put him on the defensive, you throw open the trade window, and you say things like, you don't want to be here, we know you don't want to be here. You make Aaron Rodgers have to talk, because he's been a genius so far in the topic of the less said, the better. Because the less he is saying, he's still getting his message out so loudly. And he doesn't have to worry about doing all these big, long interviews. He can give a statement here and there, and that's it. He wants to be the good guy. No, you put him on the defensive and make him talk about why he wants out and everything else. At least then you control the narrative. And as I always say, you wanted this. You wanted Aaron Rodgers out. He's putting it on a silver platter for you right here. You can get out right now. You can try. Don't worry about the dead cap money this year. You signed all your players. What are you worried about 2021? It doesn't matter. You're not going to go out, oh, we got to go out and give. No, this money is gone already, right? You've signed your free agents. You've done it all. You can get whatever you need from him. You can get quarterbacks. You can get drafted. You can get all of this. If I'm the Packers, I say, okay, you know what? I'm done. You are done running this franchise for the past few months. And if it's going to end this way, we're going to do it now. We're not going to postpone the future because nothing's going to have. We're not going to have a great big Super Bowl run where suddenly things are great and we love each other. No, it's not happening. Okay, if you want out, we're going to make sure we get you out. And we're going to do it right now, and we're going to do it our way, and we're going to reclaim the narrative here and reclaim the Green Bay Packers. That's what I do if I'm the Packers.
Sure. You have to, allocute. You've got to go, and it's like you're watching a Law & Order episode. All right, we'll agree to this plea bargain, but you have to tell us exactly what you did and what you knew. I mean, that's kind of what you're setting up here, because all it is through the minions. And this feels like more Schefter aggregating stuff like he did the last time he had breaking news. I think we heard about the would-be record-breaking contract a while ago, but here we are again. So it's breaking news today. You know my stance on it. It's like you're going to get a bag of balls. Okay, here's a bunch of late first-round picks. Okay, so now I've got to go and hit on every one of those, and they're all going to be 20s and 30s, right? Or they're going to be towards the back end of the first round where it's already difficult, and you've already got your separation between the, you know, make-its and the, all right, we're hoping this guy's a star. I don't buy it. I still hold his feet to the fire. Make him actually say what he needs to, and then we can have it out. As for trying to force him out, sure. By the way they structured the contract, both sides had already agreed to that being the year. And then what happened? He had two subpar years. So they decided this was the guy they wanted, and they went and got him. And now he's sad and salty. And if nothing else, it spurred him to an MVP candidacy.
Yeah, but look at it this way. It spurs him to an MVP
season. So, you know what? Hey, Aaron, be mad. Give us another one of those. And then you can walk and we'll depart as friends. Like, you know, we're in the Deathly Hallows. Gave up the cloak of invisibility and you'd fly off with death.
Yeah, the Peverell brothers, right? Wasn't that who it was? Peverell brothers? No, but here's the thing is that, yes, you can't control the first round picks, right? You can't control. Are they going to be later in the first round? Yes, but this is why later first round picks are valuable, is because these are the picks you package together to move up to get a quarterback, right? It's okay, hey, we got two first round. We're picking ninth and we're picking 23rd. If we give you 9 and 23, can we move up to 4? Yes, you can do that, right? You're going to get three first round picks for them. You get a couple of second round picks. You'll get players. You'll get any quarterback you want, right? Because if you're trading with the Raiders, they'll give you Derek Carr. If you're trading with the Broncos, well, there's nobody wanting the Broncos. If you're trading with the Dolphins, you'll get Tua, right? So you'll get all those things, and this is how you'll remake the team. So if this is going to happen anyway, why aren't you doing it when you can control? Because let's face it, if you wait another year, what if Aaron Rodgers just has an okay year this year? What if it's such a bad year and he throws 25 touchdowns with 10 or 12 picks and he just has an okay? You're not getting three firsts in 2 seconds and a quarterback and a player. You're getting a couple of firsts. Well, he's 38. Maybe he's at the end of the run now. I don't know. You're risking way too much if you are the Packers. I would seize control of this right now and make this trade and just move on and say it's time for it. We can't keep doing this dance because he's just going to hold it over us for as long as he can. That's why I say let's do it this way, and then we will wind up moving on and we'll be better. It'll be better for both of us. We can trade you to the Raiders where you're going to wind up stinking anyway. Sorry, was that out loud? This is where you can finally solve everything. And again, it's what you wanted. You drafted Jordan Love. You wanted this anyway, Mike Harmon. You wanted it.
Yeah,
anyway.
We're going to keep fighting about that until we're blue in the face. But after his 2 years of subpar performances, yes, it was a great touchdown to interception ratio, and they won games, and they won in the North, and they got to an NFC title game. But at some point, not every guy's Tom Brady that's standing on a White House lawn at 43. At some point, you have to make a plan for the next guy. And just because we've seen so many other teams not do it, Pittsburgh, the Chargers had fell into their lap with Justin Herbert, but they have for years eschewed the idea of, hey, Phillip's getting older and he's throwing underarm. What are we doing here? The Packers tried to get ahead of it, and you know, it chapped Rodgers' ass, and it spurred him to an MVP run and obviously another NFC title appearance. I say you run it back. Be
Twitter,
mad at
how about
year, buddy.
Okay, we can. You know what? Let's just see. Because you really think it's going to happen? I really don't see it. I don't see it.
I just don't acquiesce to him acting like a jackass. How about that? You signed a deal. There's 3 years left on it.
Let me just say this, because everybody loves to talk about signs, right, with Aaron Rodgers, right? Colin Cowherd talked a lot today about how, the house he rents is getting cleaned. Okay. How about the fact that Aaron Rodgers is not at this closeout game for the Bucks?
Neither's LeBron James. Did he not need more support for Space Jam 2?
I mean, what is that? What does that tell you? If we want to talk about signs and what all these signs mean, what about, he paid the dues at a country club. Okay. What about the fact he's not at this game? What about Aaron Rodgers not at this game? Not at this game. But wouldn't he be that? He's gone to games, right? This is his thing, right? What he goes.
It has been in.
He doesn't like the spotlight. Oh, this is when he shows up. He shows up at times like this. He comes to these games. What about the sign? He's not at this game. All right, let's just be honest. If you want to talk about signs, oh, for one way, you'll talk about signs the other way as well, because that's what's happening right now. Rodgers not at this game. Oh, wouldn't he be there to help celebrate a Milwaukee and Wisconsin championship? You would think, but maybe if he's not coming back, doesn't need to go. I mean, that's where we're at right now. Just understand that.
Well, he's soft. He didn't want the heat. How about that?
You think he wants to go to the Heat? That's what he wants. I'll write that down. Mike thinks Aaron Rodgers wants to go to the Heat. Got it right here. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And I can tell you, we're about to talk about one person for the last 2+ hours of this show. There are 10 seconds left in the NBA Finals. The Milwaukee Bucks lead the Phoenix Suns 104-98, and Giannis is at the free throw line. He has 47 points tonight. You want to know the list of guys that have had 40 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks in an NBA Finals game? Giannis.
And that's it.
The only guy. His free throw makes it 48 points for Giannis. It's 105-98.
Well, he's at 49. Yeah.
He's at 49 right now. Now, he's at 50. He is at 50 points.
There you go.
And the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be the NBA champions. There are 10 seconds. We're going to stay with you right here because it doesn't look like the Suns are going to be able to do a lot. Oh, there is a timeout on the floor.
Of course there is.
Here with 10 seconds left. I don't know how the Suns are going to get 7 points in 9 seconds. They need
Rock
Reggie Miller.
Jock, baby.
No. They need Reggie Miller and Spike Lee. So, you know, Lee can really just urge him on, and Reggie can score the 9 points in 8 seconds or whatever it was that killed the Knicks. 8 points in 9 seconds. But it is a 105-98 lead. Milwaukee leads the Suns again. 10 seconds left, and it's going to be all about Giannis. And there are so many things to get to. We are going to be breaking this down. The 7th player in finals history to drop 50 points in a game. He's going to be the NBA Finals MVP. And maybe part of it tonight, Mike, was him saying, oh, you really think Middleton and Jrue Holiday? Oh, that's cute. That's cute. You think these guys could be the MVP.
How about
I drop 50 on you in the clinching game, and we'll see how that goes.
It is funny because Middleton hit a couple of shots and a couple of free throws down the stretch. Like, hey, good of you to show up. But in the interim, it was all Giannis all the time. Hey, you did get 11 assists from Jrue Holiday. He's plus 11 on the night. That can't be understated. You look on the other side of town there, you've got a minus 14 for Devin Booker, a minus 17 for Bridges as they fall down. But Giannis also with the huge free throw effort. I can't triple underscore. I can't highlight that and make it blink enough, choosing a really spectacular font because, I mean, that's just insane. All series, all season, it's, all right, if we can get them above 60%, we're feeling all right. Instead, you get just a monster effort. They out-rebound by 10, 11 offensive rebounds to the Suns 5, and Giannis with a 50-burger. 50, 14, and 5. Just absurd.
And absurd that the Milwaukee Bucks are your NBA champions, beating the Suns 105-98. It is an insane scene right now. Chris Paul walking off the court. He is not – the look
We're
on his
We're talking about
face,
him the next 2 hours,
woo,
right?
Boy, Chris Paul.
Is he still top 5?
877-99.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, folks.
Giannis is getting – no, we'll absolutely do that. We'll absolutely 100%. The guy took one shot in the final 7 minutes of the game. We'll get to that. But Giannis is your man. 105-98 is the final. The Milwaukee Bucks, NBA champions. And remember, I picked the Bucks to go to the finals before the season began, and I picked them to win the title before the finals, Mike. I mean, like, I told you how this NBA season was going to go. I told
you. Did you make any wagers on it?
Should've listened to me. Maybe I did. Maybe I made so much money I bought a speedboat.
And now you live and you have parties during games in Michigan.
Or I bought a jet ski like Owen Wilson in the TVA.
He wanted
one. So here it is. The Bucks are your champions. Giannis owns the NBA. You think he doesn't? Oh, we're just getting started here. That's coming up next right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, congratulations to the Bucks. They are your NBA champions of 2021. Fox Sports Radio.
The game is over.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo!
Congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks. They are your NBA champions. The party on the floor in Milwaukee, raising the Larry O'Brien trophy. It was some kind of performance. The game wasn't great, but Giannis was out of this world. 50 points, 14 boards. He is 17 out of 19 from the free throw line. He has 5 blocks. He does everything. I can't state enough what a huge star turn this has been. Tonight's game has been for the NBA. Because Giannis was always, he's a big star in a small market. Is he going to ever cut through? Is he going to become LeBron? What kind of player is he going to be? And we have seen that he is a combination of Shaquille O'Neal and LeBron James. And they need that next guy who's going to carry the NBA for the next 7 to 10 years. LeBron only has a couple of years left. The other guys are good, but can they really do it? The NBA not only needed Giannis to be the guy, they needed him to do it this way. 50 points in a championship clinching game. Who's had a bigger closeout game than that in the history of the NBA? Giannis's star turn has become so huge. This is now the guy, along with Zion, when he gets to a new team, these are the two guys that are going to carry the NBA for the next 7 to 10 years. It's going to be Giannis, who's only 26, 27, and it's Zion. These are the two guys. It is now Giannis's league right now. I can't tell you enough. 50 points in a game 6 in a championship clinching, when it's now his league. All the other guys we talk about, oh, LeBron and Jokic and Aaron, Joel Embiid. No, this is Giannis's league. He's done it. 50 points in a clinching game, stats that nobody has seen. He's had incredible numbers the entire 6 games. It's now his NBA, and the NBA is going to reap the rewards of it because now he's going to be that next big star.
Go from the one-name guy in LeBron, from Kobe to LeBron. Now you go to Giannis. It's his time, and Zion will get his, as you say. He can battle him for it. But likable in the Q rating on just such a whole other level, going back to the, you know, the freak on the court, freak in the sheets, and all of those things, you know, hanging out, being a guy, like some of the viral videos of fan interactions, and certainly that ego versus humility speech that he gave over the weekend. So I brought that up with LeVar Arrington on Sunday. I said, he was the face, it's his time, and he went and he backed it up with a monster performance tonight.
So there it is, the Milwaukee Bucks, your NBA champions. What did it sound like for them, their first title since I was 1 year old? Well, it sounded like this.
Chris Paul inbound, looking in for Booker, who takes a three. No good. Tucker with the rebound. The Suns are not going to foul. It's been a 50-year journey. Wisconsin, we've got a room at the top of the world tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions. Let the celebration begin.
Oh, now I want to hear Standing on Top of the World by Van Halen. That's that's what I want. Bucks Radio Network on the call. We got more on this and CP3 next.